So welcome to MariaDB FirstM Talks. My name is Monty, and I'm going to talk about how we are implementing atomic DDLs in MariaDB. In other words, ensuring that when you do a drop and or create or a name table or something similar, there will be no old things left. But to understand why we are or have to do this, I will start with a little bit of MariaDB history. When I originally created MySQL, there were some things I needed. I wanted to be sure that we have a format that is extensible for storing definitions, so that that upgrade would be easy and you should be able to easily move tables from one version to another one, or between versions or systems. So it has to be future-proof, and I wanted to have it really, really fast, because back then computers were not fast, so opening a table should be as instant as possible. It should also be easy to back up things and move, and after backup move and replace those tables. The reason for that was that in the old times we had lots of customers who were using the predecessor of MySQL over modem, and then they also wanted to copy the tables and use them locally. So it was critical that we could just update individual tables trivially for end users. And MySQL was inheriting all unary code, so they get all these features and the benefits. And the fact that we automatically discover tables on disk when you put them there was in hindsight very good, because it allowed us to easily implement discovery for other things who are not local, like we do for the S3 storage engine or column store or expand tables. So when you do information schema queries or you do show tables, we always scan the disk for frame tables, and then also we ask the other engines who support discovery that, do you have any new tables that you haven't told me about? But there were some problems with the old design. Because when you work with multiple files, things are not atomic if you get a crash in the middle. So if you get a crash just after a table was created, but without the frame being created, or doing a drop, and we only drop some of the tables, you get something that is not in sync. And if you do multiple table rename, for example, want to swap A and B, in which case you would do rename A to C, and B to A, and C to B. And if you get a crash there in the middle, it's not clear what data you have in which tables. And what is kind of even worse is that if you do a drop, for example, drop tables and some tables was dropped and get a crash, then you will not get the statement into the replication log. So the slave will not have the same state as the master. And a last minor problem, but still a problem for those who have thousands of tables, is that if you do information schema queries over all tables, for example, you want to know which table has a column with this name, can be rather slow, because we have to do a scan for all tables and open the frame file just to be able to answer that question. So when we started to work on atomic DDL, there were some things of the old that we want to keep. We want to have something that works for all storage engines, not only for InnoDB, like in MySQL. It should be really still very fast to open the tables, because tables are opened all the time, and it should be easy to copy tables between databases without an export and import. We still need export and import for InnoDB, but we are planning to fix that. For most of the storage engines, you don't. So the solution that I've been working on is described in the MDEL 17567. And shortly, we don't want to change anything on how things are stored on disk. The idea was to extend the DDL log that is used to ensure that partition changes are atomic, to also handle order the kind of DDLs. And we want to ensure that the binary log always is correct. For example, if you do a drop of five tables and you get a crash between the tables that are dropped and the binary log should be written, in that case, things are not logged in the binary log. And that has to be fixed. A lot of the changes is already done. I'm working on those just now. I've been working for some months on all, between other tasks, and they will all be in 10.6. You can find things in my currently development tree. And what is working now completely is rename table and rename view, any combinations, any word circles. Drop table and drop view is working, and drop triggers and drop database. And what I will start working on next is create table and alter table, because I have changed a lot of the code or the old DDL login code and extending it to make it generally usable. These two should be rather easy to do. Probably the most common cases is where you see a problem with the old code is that you have an alter table which can take a really, really, really long time. In this case, we create temporary tables to store the data, and then we do a swap of the old tables to the new one. But if you get a crash in the middle of alter table, which can take a long time, the temporary tables may be still on disk, kind of forever. We have done some hacks in InnoDB to automatically delete those. But with atomic DDL work, we are trying to ensure that there's no need for hack. Everything is done in a simple and elegant manner. So how was this done? So this is basically a description, a semantic description of how rename is working. And we don't need to work on temporary tables, because if you get a server crash, all temporary tables are gone anyway. So we only have to work with real tables. So the basic idea is that before you do anything, like before you do a rename, we write in the DDL log an entry to say that what we're going to do. And when the rename is done, we add a marker that we succeeded with the rename, and now we go into the next step. We're updating triggers and table, and when those are done, we write mark the old entry that rename is completely done. And this we do for all tables, and after everything is done, we create an XID, a unique identifier that is used to see that this entry exists in the binary log. So you write this unique identifier in the DDL log for the whole operation, and then we write one entry in the binary log together with the XID. So this was new code I added. And then we write things in the binary log, and then the last thing is we mark the DDL entry done, in which case basically is that we free them for other uses. So during recovery, first we scan the binary log to check that which XIDs exist in it. And then we go through the DDL recovery log and check and mark those that was in the binary log that we don't need to do anything. And for the remaining one, we either roll back the renames, or if all renames was completely done and then we can just write the entry to the, we could theoretically mark the entry to the binary log. For rename, we always roll back if something goes wrong until it's written in the binary log. For drop, we do a little bit more. So the same thing idea is there for drop. We loop over all tables, we mark what's we plan to do and mark them to be done, and also remember the different phases so that we know if something goes wrong where to continue. So drop is a little bit different from rename, because something goes with rename, goes wrong with rename, we know that we can always roll things back and get things how they were originally. So we never have to write it to the binary log. But drop is permanent when it happens. So assuming that you do a drop of 5 tables and you get a crash because somebody kills the server at the 4th table, we can't roll those back. So what we are using the ddialog for is to finish the drop of the last table to ensure that it's completely done. And this was using some code that we added in 10.5, where we always guarantee that a drop is complete, there is never any old tables left. And then we remember those things that was dropped, and when we have gone through the whole ddialog, then we write drop commands for both views and tables in the binary log if they were not there. So for drop database, we are basically reusing the code for drop table. The only difference is that after the last table, we have been, instead of writing the different drop tables statement that was done during drop database, we instead write drop database, and we use the same XID to define that was this entry there or not. The difference is that if the database was still exist on disk and was not dropped, but we only drop tables, then we only generate drop table, and we drop view commands for what was actually dropped. So in other words, this ensures that the master and the slave is always up to date, and you never have any orphan tables or out of sync files. So one thing I forgot to mention was that we also use the DDL recovery code when we do a rollback of a rename when something goes wrong. And that means that the code is quite tested, because it's not only used in crash scenarios, it's also used in regular things, and that also makes it much easier to test. And as part of the Atomic DDL work, I added a new way to restart and test the server. And for once, we have DDL code, who is where we get crashes or simulate crashes in every single point of logic where things are written on disk. So I have been able to verify that in spite of anywhere where you can get potential a crash or the server goes down, we actually can recover things. So the cost of atomic rename, we write things in the ddialog, and every time we write things, we have to sync, because we have to assume that we get a crash afterwards, and a hard crash, in other words, the server goes down and nothing is synced to disk. So as you can see, there is about 6 syncs per table for the whole operation. If you have one table, if you have more tables, of course, there's less. So there is some cost, but I would say the benefit of having everything atomic and consistent is worth that. And after all, this is not that often do you do rename or drop tables. There's some confusion about information schema and atomic. And just because they are not related in the sense that it's they are basically different independent tasks. So after the atomic DDL work is done, things will always be up to date, and the slave will also be up to date. But the question is still how to solve the other problem in the old design of having information schema tables not as fast as they could be. So we do have some optimization. So if you do some questions about just one table, for example, show columns for this table through an information schema, that's very fast because we only have to open that one single table. But if you do it for others, things can get or go slower the more tables you add. So we have ideas of how to fix that. So we plan to do a new data dictionary, still without having any notable changes on disk. Still, everything should look as before. You can easily upgrade to from a system that has not a new data dictionary to the other one. Things should just work. So the idea is to add some one or a set of table where we store the definitions. And when opening a table, we will always use this as the true source of things. But there's a couple of cases where we have to go to the FRM that still will be created. And that is if we notice that this table doesn't exist, then we go to the FRM and see if it exists, and then we read the definition, so that makes the table still movable. Or in the case of that somebody has just copied in a table over an old one, then we'll be able to detect that, hey, there's a difference between the table in the data dictionary and the real one, in which case we will go to the FRM to get the latest one. So the effect will be that open will be faster because we don't have to go to disk as often, at least not opening a file and closing, which can be quite slow. And we can do complex queries. And we still have all the old benefit of easy backups, even moving table. You can just take it down a table and just down a server and just copy them. So if you have any questions, I will be available on Zulib during this session so that you can ask me anything related to this. Thank you.